Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Have you ever heard of the Great Unconformity? It's a geological wonder on Frenchman Mountain, right outside of East Las Vegas. This area is replete with native plants and indigenous ancestral sites. But the government has neglected these lands for years, and it's covered in trash and graffiti. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, we take you out to the proposed site for the East Las Vegas National Monument. I talked with three community leaders, Berta Gutierrez, Dr. Steve Rowland, and Taylor Patterson, about what a federal designation could bring to the East Las Vegas community. It's Monday, April 1st. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Berta, why is your organization involved in making this area a national monument?
So I work with the Conservation Lands Foundation, and we're the only national organization that focuses on expanding and restoring and really protecting land when it comes to the Bureau of Land Management, the lands that are under their management. And this area right here is under the Bureau of Land Management. Right now, it has a protected status that is very specific, and it doesn't allow for the funding and the type of focus that it needs, really. So this landscape that we're sitting on right now, this is managed by the Bureau. So you have this...
The Bureau of Land Management.
So you have this little, like, you know, piecing together different agencies managing land. So this is because it's so close to the city. There are some issues here, right? There is some dumping. There's illegal partying. There's illegal shooting that happens. That's why you see so much trash accumulated.
Right.
And then you go a little further and you have to pay to get in, but you have Lake Mead and it looks completely different. And
right.
I think, like, we want to make sure that we are, like, really bringing up the level of management that it has, the level of protection that it has, so that it can address the needs of the area. We need it to be a place that welcomes recreation and that where we can provide safe recreation for people, for the neighbors, right? Like the East Las Vegas community.
It's just, you know, the city just ends and then here we are in this beautiful public space. What is the deal with the trucks? What are they doing?
So we are right next to Lake Mead Boulevard. And I'm not quite sure what they're doing, but it's NDOT. So hopefully they're like working on the roads.
So Lake Mead, speaking of, is a national park and this will be a national monument. So what is the difference between the two?
It just depends on who's managing them, right? Like, Lake Mead is managed by the National Park Service, but it's a national recreation area.
That's right.
And that, you know, it all depends on, like, how you make the meal, right? Like, what are the steps? And the thing is that Congress can designate national parks, and they can also designate national monuments and national conservation areas like Red Rock. But a national monument can also be designated through the Antiquities Act of 1906. And that is by proclamation by the President of the United States. And that's how almost a year ago we got the newest national monument in Nevada become a national monument by proclamation. So the paths are a little bit similar, but with a national monument, you have two paths to follow. So you can get it through Congress or you can get it through the president. And both need a lot of community support. They both need really that community engagement that comes with, like, this is public land, you know, it's being managed for the public. So, like, what does the public want to see happen? And that's where we're organizing to really bring all those voices together for this.
And you've got such a strong argument because this is so close to a community that needs public lands. Mm-hmm. Avikwame, you know, that took 20 years, right? So do you think that this is going to move a little bit faster?
I think I'm trying to keep, like, the goal in mind just a little vague, just for my mental sure. health. Because the thing is that you have to do the work, right? You have to bring the community together. You have to raise the support. And right now, we're a couple of steps ahead. Through the work that Dr. Roland has done, we already have support from the state of Nevada, the legislature. We have support from Clark County. Mm. So we're there. We're on the yeah. way. So, and I think, like, what matters in, like, really focusing on the work instead of, like, the timeline is that you never know when there's going to be an opportunity for protection.
Right.
Right? When there's going to be a bill that is, you know, getting ready or getting organized, and you can bring your small monument compared to Avikwame, your small monument, and just include it, right?
Right.
If it has already the right support and the right, you know, the right kind of, like, check boxes too, you know, for lack of a better term, like, if you've already advanced enough on this.
So it's about getting it situated for that presidential mm-hmm. proclamation, because unlike a national park or recreation area, it doesn't have to go through a voting process. It can just happen.
Right.
If it's positioned right.
Right.
So I know that in addition to the desire to create more public space for the area of East Las Vegas, there is a sort of geological wonder, a yes. rare geological wonder here too. So I think that's where we're going to head next.
There's also a super rare flower that only occurs here.
Really?
Yes. The Las Vegas bear pop poppy. So it only blooms here. So there's enough things that if you see them as just individuals, they're like, oh, that's special. But when you bring all those together, you're like, well, wait, this is really special.
Yeah.
So we should really be taking better care of it.
Okay, let's look at some really special rocks. Let's hit it.
Let's go.
I'm excited. So, Dr. Stephen Roland, you are a geologist, is that correct?
I'm a geologist. I'm a professor of geology, emeritus professor at UNLV. I was on the faculty for 41 years before I retired in 2019, but I'm still very active in local geological research and working with students and others.
Once a geologist, always a geologist. You're not going to give right. it up because you're retired.
Exactly right.
So you've been working on this project, you were saying, as we were walking, for about 35 years.
Right.
So why here? What's so important about it?
Frenchman Mountain and Rainbow Gardens, and I'm going to say something that's going to sound hyperbolic, but it's not. This is the single best place in the world that exposes a cross-section of geologic time. There's no, this is the Grand Canyon plus a few hundred million years.
Wow.
So Frenchman Mountain, together with the Great Unconformity, is part of the story, but this is just an amazingly rich geologic area. 29 years ago, this month, February of 1995, we dedicated a monument, while most of you young ladies were not even born yet or, you know, toddlers, we had a beautiful monument out around the road, and another one right here, another one on top of the hill. Secretary of Interior Bruce Babbitt was here for our dedication. Hmm. Senators Richard Bryan and Harry Reid were here. We dedicated this beautiful monument, which was destroyed within a year by vandalism. So I feel so passionate about this area, that so many rich opportunities to teach about geologic history, to show people the beauty of rocks, different kinds of rocks, igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary are all right here for people to see. It's just an amazing research opportunity and teaching opportunity that slipped through our fingers 29 years ago. Hmm. And I'm desperate to see us protect this area for the Las Vegas community and for the world. This is just an extraordinary opportunity, and the Great Unconformity is part of that story, but it's only a part.
I want to go back, because the other thing that's exciting for me is that it has a geological formation with, I think, one of the best names for a geological formation. What was that again?
Great Unconformity.
The Great Unconformity.
That's right.
Incredible. What does that mean? And actually, we're looking at it. Can you point it out to me?
Sure. So an unconformity is a buried erosion surface. So what that means is some rocks were exposed on the Earth's surface, subjected to wind and rain and all the erosion processes, and then sea level rose or a lake formed there. Somehow or other, that exposed surface got covered up with a new layer of rock. So mm-hmm. that's what an unconformity is. It's mm-hmm. a buried erosion surface. Mm-hmm. This is called the Great Unconformity.
So it's this area underneath here.
It's an actual surface. It's a uh-huh. line on this closure or a layer. So it's this layer right here. These rocks here and all those to the right, you can see some pink granites there.
Yes.
Those are 1.7 billion years old.
Wow.
1.7 billion, way back in Proterozoic time. These rocks right here above them are only a mere 500 million years old.
Oh.
This is called the Tapete Sandstone. It occurs in the Grand Canyon and throughout part of this part of Nevada. And so what we're looking at is 500 million year old rocks sitting right on top of 1.7 billion year old rocks. So there's this surface then, the Great Unconformity, is that surface between these two layers, which represents 1.2 billion years of geologic time.
Wow.
And so part of our story then is what happened during that 1.2 billion years and why don't we have a record of it here? And we understand what happened, and it all has to do with continental drift and plate collisions and mm-hmm. all that story. So there's a great story to fill in that gap of what was going on. And I love to tell that story to people, and this is the best place to do it.
And, you know, unfortunately, our listeners can't see, but, you know, of course, what we're looking at, it looks like the rocks have been pushed out of the earth, and they were looking at sort of striations at a 45 degree angle from
right,
the earth.
Right,
would you say
right.
that's correct? And then sort of this brown sandstone that's sitting on top of this green and pink granite. And what is unusual about it is that we've got relatively new rocks sitting on top of very, very, very old rock and nothing in between.
Correct.
So it's all about how these, you know, these mountains were forced out of the ground by these plates coming together. And you can see that very visually right here. Is that correct?
That's right. That's a good way to put it.
Thank you. I feel honored. Okay. So why is this area important to the scientific community?
It's important for a variety of reasons. So because it's the Grand Canyon tilted on its side, plus a bunch of rocks that are missing from the Grand Canyon. So we have the whole Grand Canyon and then some, and all that's been tilted. And the story of Frenchman Mountain concerns the story of the Great Basin, the Basin and Range Province. During the Miocene epoch, I will not use a lot of technical terms, but 15 million years or so ago, North America, the western part of North America was pulled apart due to plate motions, one plate pulling on the other, and that's what formed Nevada.
Mm.
And at that time, a little piece of the Colorado Plateau, which is the area where the Grand Canyon is, not in the state of Colorado, but the Colorado River region, was pulled away from that area and transported about 40 miles to where it is today. So Frenchman Mountain, part of that whole story of Frenchman Mountain is this extensional tectonics, as we call it, when Western North America was pulled apart and stretched, and Frenchman Mountain, among other regional, local mountain ranges, were pulled 40 miles to the west and tilted. So that's why this is a piece of the Grand Canyon that's been rotated and moved 40 miles and tilted into its present angle.
And the access is incredible.
Access is incredible.
It's not only is it close to the city, but
exactly.
it's
exactly.
a very short
people,
trail from the road.
I hear the story fairly often that people study geology at other places in the country, and they hear about the Grand Conformity, and they walk all the way to the bottom of the Grand Canyon so they can touch it. Here, you can drive right up, you know, within a two-minute walk to
and
see it.
And if observation, you know, is true, you can have a beer, and then you can throw on the ground, at least
right,
for the moment,
right.
walk up here.
And the educational opportunities are so diverse here that, for example, I've been here with Cub Scouts, eight-year-old
cool.
boys, for example, and Girl Scouts, who... And this is a place that I can teach them about the major aspects, the three major types of rock, igneous, sedimentary, and metamorphic. They're all right here.
Right
here where we're standing, we can see examples of all those. So I can teach geology, you know, very simple principles of geology. If I'm here with graduate students in geology, we can talk about isotope geochemistry of carbonate rocks and how we date the rocks, which we do. We just named a new formation called the Frenchman Mountain Dolostone. My colleagues and I published a paper with that new formation name, which had never been named before, here at Frenchman Mountain. This same formation continues all the way into the Grand Canyon. So this
wow.
formation that we named now is in the Grand Canyon. So this is a regionally important and worldwide important site that is so suitable for teaching at whatever level that the students are that you have here.
So, Taylor Patterson,
that is me.
you are an activist with the Native Voters Alliance, correct?
Yes, that is me. I'm the executive director mm-hmm. of Native Voters Alliance Nevada, and I'm also a member of the Bishop Paiute tribe, mm-hmm. but I grew up here in Las Vegas.
Oh,
yeah.
So you have a lot of connection to this land.
Yes.
And this land also has some spiritual and historical significance for the Paiute people as well. Is that
yeah,
true?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I'm enrolled in Bishop. But my grandparents are from down here, so mm-hmm. my grandpa was a Moapa Paiute, and my grandma was what they call scattered Paiute, but from the south as well. And this area has been home to the Southern Paiutes since time immemorial. And the Southern Paiutes exist in a bunch of different bands across California, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah. And so all of the different bands were, you know, they had their home regions, of course, but they traveled mm-hmm. and they moved throughout all of these different landscapes. And here, where we are in the proposed East Las Vegas Monument, they have some really amazing cultural sites that are very sacred and very important to mm-hmm. sort of the life of the Southern Paiute people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm from out east, and mm-hmm. I feel like one of the worst stereotypes of the desert that I hear again and again is, oh, there's nothing out there.
Yeah.
So can you tell us when, you know, we're standing at the top of this ridge, what do you see here? Do you see nothing?
No, absolutely not. And it's frustrating, too, because yes. I think, you know, I've worked on other landscapes, and I love other landscapes in Nevada, but people really often, they want something exciting, right? Like, they want to mm-hmm. see, like, a nice spring or you know, an outcropping of crystals or, you know, whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. But just because it's not something that, like, on first glance looks very exciting doesn't mean that it isn't. Mm-hmm. And I always and have to remind people, when we talk about tribal history, it's more about human history.
Yeah.
These areas, early, like, colonial settlers felt like were unlivable. Mm. You couldn't live in this land, you know, Death Valley and all of this, mm-hmm. you know, barren desert, and how could people exist here? And they came here and they found Southern Paiute people. They came mm-hmm. here and they found the true native Nevadans. And so I look at how much the city has grown, and I'm, of course, impressed by that. But I also remind myself that, like, you know, I know exactly the wash where my grandma was born, and I know where my grandpa grew up, and so on and so forth, all the way back. And I know the traditional stories that my mom told me, that her mom told her, and mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, and the sacred mountains where we give our offerings, and all of those really important places that people are driving through Las Vegas and they mm-hmm. never see and they never take a second look mm-hmm. at. And so I just see such a place rich with history. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was recently talking to an influencer, and they were mm-hmm. telling me, you know, there's nothing really, like, of historical importance in Nevada.
There's
you know,
no
there's
good
no,
museums.
There's no yeah. good museums. There's no good, you know, history. Like, sure, we've got, like, the mob, but, like, nothing beyond that. And I'm like, no, there is, number one, there is plenty of museums. There's plenty of museums that are good and that are bad, and that they have a bunch of artifacts that they probably shouldn't have from yes. my family members. But beyond that, you know, this is early human history and mm. early, like, westward expansion history, you know? Mm. And so looking at the entire landscape and looking down, right now we're looking down on the city, mm. I see a city that really has subsisted for mm-hmm. generations and started so small and so scrappy, for mm-hmm. lack of a better word, and now is this blooming metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And so it excites me to be able to come up, overlook the city, see the natural beauty to one side of us. When we look towards the east, you're headed towards mm-hmm. Lake Mead National Recreation Area, and it starts to get kind of quiet. You know, Berta and I were here the other night, during rush hour traffic, so mm-hmm. it gets a little noisy then. And of course, we've heard plenty of planes today taking mm-hmm. off, but you have this natural beauty in this little pocket, and going all the way towards Lake Mead and then headed to the west, of course, you see the Spring Mountains, you right. see the entire city. And you can also look towards the Desert National Wildlife Refuge. Mm. You can see pretty much all of Las Vegas. We were even looking at the Sphere earlier with his weird little googly eyes.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> And I mean, this area really is a cradle for humanity here, that yeah. we can trace thousands, tens of thousands of years of human history all in this one spot.
Yes.
Do you think, so the East Las Vegas National Monument is sort of a placeholder. Do you think that there will be a name change to honor the history of the Paiute people here?
Yeah, we've been talking for a couple of years, definitely since I've had Native Voters Alliance, about land back, right? Mm-hmm. It's such a big topic for Natives and non-Native allies.
Can you briefly describe what that means?
Yeah, so this topic of, or this, you know, phrase land back had really blossomed, you know, in the last couple of years to give the land back to the Native people, mm-hmm. right? Most of our land was not ceded or it was unfairly taken. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we don't have to go through like the entire reservation history mm-hmm. and colonial history, but
that's Googleable.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so we can give that a Google.
Not to go to a different podcast, but KNPR did a great Native Nevada podcast.
Oh, amazing.
Has a lot of information about Nevada.
We love shouting people out, don't worry.
Yeah, it's public, you know, yeah. Nonprofit. But so, you know, we don't have to go back that far, but land back really blossomed out of, let's give Native people autonomy over their land. Let's mm-hmm. give them stewardship over their ancestral homelands. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be, land back can be very direct, right? Giving mm-hmm. tribes land back in trust. But of course, that's tough. Getting back land back in trust means Congress has to literally act on that. Mm-hmm. We need a congressional act to give land back to any of these federally recognized tribes. So land back can be more nebulous than that and yeah. a little bit less specific than that, and just allowing tribes and tribal people to exercise sovereignty over their lands. And so to me, I've been really loving to talk about how national monuments can provide that land back experience. And so having tribes participate in the entire process and having mm-hmm. them look at everything from what land do we actually want to see protected, what should that map look like, to what should it be called. Mm-hmm. We just worked on Abiquime. It was really important for the Mojave people to have that name and to have that traditional name for that place mm-hmm. because Abiquime is so spiritually important to them. And so to call mm-hmm. it what it is important. And I always let people know too, you know, Secretary Deb Haaland did a huge federal mm-hmm. push to change places from, you know, improper names or derogatory yeah. names. We don't need to worry about that when it's a Native name. Yeah. It's what it's been called since time immemorial, and we will continue to call it that. And so, you know, we're still in the process of talking to all of the bands of Southern Paiute and figuring out, is East Las Vegas the best name for it? Do we want to call it the traditional name for Sunrise Mountain? Do we want to call it something to do with some of the cultural sites in there? So I think we have a really big opportunity to let tribes into the conversation and lead the conversation.
So excited. So when you look at the Las Vegas Valley, if you think about it, you have the northern community that have access to Tule Springs National Monument. There's Desert National Wildlife Refuge. You go to the west, there's Red Rock Canyon, there's the Spring Mountains, there's Mount Charleston. You go south and around Henderson and you have Sloan Canyon
right.
National Monument. Now we have Abiquime National Monument.
Right.
But if you come to the East Las Vegas, to this community, there's no protected land.
Right.
You have Lake Mead, but that's a fee area.
Yeah.
So you don't have that access for
right.
the community. And the reality is that people come here and people come hike here, and it's just not the same experience that the other parts of the valley are getting. So we want to change that for the community.
Put the trails in, make sure there is constant cleanup, make sure it's, you know, safe and accessible, mm-hmm. not in the same ways that like a national park might be with a visitor center and bathrooms right. and things like that, but that it is a welcoming place that
yes.
people in East Las Vegas feel invited to come up here.
Exactly. And we want to do this with the community.
Right.
So we're bringing along community organizations, we're bringing along individuals, we're talking to neighbors, we want to, you know, we're talking to artists.
Right.
We're trying to create the spaces for to reach the community that already loves and values this landscape.
Right.
To do it together.
And make sure that it's free. Everybody else has access to free open spaces here in the Las Vegas, in the valley, the whole valley.
Exactly.
But except for East Las Vegas.
Exactly.
This was amazing. I'm so glad to know about this space. Good luck. I really hope this gets the National Monument designation. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great day.
All right, that's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed this show, why not tell a friend, rate the show? We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Take care.